In the name of the one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. John begins his gospel in this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The most amazing thing about the incarnation is not so much what God did, but rather how he did it. Now, if I had been in charge, I probably would have done it differently. For starters, I would have made a grand entrance into the world. There would have been no question as to who I was. Perhaps I would have had a parade with floats and bands, and I would be at the end of the parade in glorious splendor, riding on the tallest float of all. And furthermore, I would have been a lot like a first century version of Superman, with the ability to fly, to bend iron bars, and I would certainly have been impervious to pain or attack. If I had been God, that's how I would have done it. Now, thankfully, I'm not God. After all, he chose a much different way. He chose a better way. The miracle of the incarnation is not so much that God came down to earth and took on our physical nature, but that he did it with all of the limitations and the difficulties that we all experience with our physical bodies. Philippians 2 tells us that Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. God chose to experience the full range of our human feelings: anger, joy, exhaustion, sadness, anxiety, hunger, and yes, thirst. He felt the same aches and pains that we do. He probably got blisters and headaches and even splinters. And now, as he hangs on the cross, the maladies of our human condition are intensified beyond what many of us can even imagine. Our Lord is dehydrated. His tongue feels like cotton sticking to the roof of his mouth. And he cries out in desperation, I thirst. Such a fundamental human need being expressed by the Lord and the Creator of the universe. Now think back with me to an earlier time. Give me a drink, Jesus says to a Samaritan woman one day as he waits by a well while his disciples go into town to buy food. And yet, even in the midst of his own thirst then, Jesus offers this woman living water. Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. And the woman answers, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst." How wonderful would that be? Can you imagine not ever having to drink again? Can you imagine never feeling parched on a hot, dry summer day? What an absolute joy for this poor woman to not have to go day in and day out to this stupid well all by herself in the middle of the day, shunned by society, and carry this water back home. That would be great. But she's missing the point. Our Lord, thirsty himself for cool, clean water of the well, is offering her something far, far better. And now, once again, our Lord thirsts while offering the living water of salvation to the world. Will we also miss the point? Will we simply look to satisfy our own physical thirst with the things of the world and miss that which is far, far better? Let us take a trip back even farther in time. Moses and the Israelites have crossed over the Red Sea and they have escaped the wrath of Pharaoh's army. And after 3 days in the wilderness of Shur, they have found that there is no water. When they reach Marad, they finally find water, but it is bitter and undrinkable. How often do we too find what we think we need only to discover that it is bitter in our mouths? We thirst after wealth, success, notoriety, and acclaim, thinking that those are the things that will satisfy us. But as soon as we drink them in, we are left with a bitter taste in our mouth. Only the sweet living water of the Lord will satisfy our innermost thirst. Instead of drinking from the stagnant waters of the world, we must seek out the water that flows from the rock, which is Christ. The bitter water of the world will never satisfy our parched souls. When we look to the world to quench our thirst, it is never enough. It seems that as soon as we move into a new house, we're already looking for one that is bigger or newer or in a better neighborhood. As soon as we get a new job, we instantly start looking for a better one. We work so hard to get 1 million followers on Instagram or TikTok, only to be left longing for that next 1 million. Like pouring water on the scorched sand of the desert, we soak up the things of the world, and then we instantly cry out for more. All of these things are bitter. They leave us thirstier than we were before. They are vinegar on a sponge when what we really desire is the living water of Jesus Christ. God told Moses to throw a log into that bitter water at Marah, and it became sweet. And our Savior now hangs crucified on a similar log, making our bitter water sweet. But this is no Superman. The nails do not bend or shatter when they drive them through his wrists. The crown of thorns does not break when they place it upon his humble head. This Jesus, who is fully God from God, light from light, true God from true God, also shares our deepest humanity. Fourth century bishop Gregory of Nyssa once said, "What God has not assumed, God has not saved." This debt incurred so many years ago in the Garden of Eden is a human debt, and it must be paid by a human agent. For thousands of years, Israel struggled, making sacrifices day and night in the temple, trying to satisfy all that had been lost. The problem was they were barely servicing the interest on this debt owed to God, never even getting close to the principal. It had become an endless and a fruitless cycle. And now, once again, the Creator of the universe takes matters into His own hands. And He takes on flesh and blood and is born at the appointed time in the city of David to peasant parents. Far from the pomp and circumstance of a grand parade, God comes into the world as a baby, helpless, hungry, and yes, thirsty. Emmanuel, God with us. It will be years before this little baby completes the work that he has come to do. And until then, there are no holds barred. There are no get out of jail free cards. But it's comforting even now to know that our Lord has experienced all that this life has to offer. When I was a youth minister, I would often hear from teens expressing feelings of loneliness, as if no one had ever experienced the pain and the emotion that they were experiencing. And I would remind them that the God of the universe felt exactly how they feel. When I'm happy, I know that God has experienced even greater happiness. When I am afraid, I know that my Lord has been frightened as well. When I am sad, I know that Jesus wept. And when I despair, I remember the man who sweated blood for my sake. When I thirst, I know that he has thirsted more. Must it be this way? Surely the Almighty God of the universe can satisfy his demand for justice in another way. Jesus prays in the garden, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And alas, it is not to be. The Son must submit fully to the will of the Father. God's justice and mercy are both satisfied on the cross. Just as the baby Jesus cried for his mother, he once more cries out to have a basic human need met. I thirst. By suffering in this way, he has assured us that our most fundamental human need will be met, the need to be in relationship with God. The relationship has been restored. Thanks be to God, we must thirst no longer. The victory has been won for us on the cross, and we can now drink from springs of living water. What's more, the Lord calls us to be those springs of living water. This living water will well up to eternal life. Jesus thirsts so that we might never again know the dryness of being separated from our Creator. Let His love wet your lips and quench your thirst. Jesus, give me this water that I may not thirst. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Amen.